This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He is in Cooperstown. He's a friend of the show, Denny Matthews. So last week we did Bo Jackson. This week we are doing George Brett. Denny, it's an honor to have you on. Denny, do you remember the first time that you watched George play?
When he came up for the first time as a big leaguer, and he still had ways to go. And I don't know how long he was up, and he went back to Omaha briefly and then came back, and he was there to stay. And I do remember that when he first got to the big leagues, Al Zeke, the Royals equipment manager, gave him number 25. I don't know how many people remember George wearing number 25, but that didn't last all that long. And then when he got back, well, then I think Al Zeke realized he was going to be around a long time and handed him number 5. And I don't know if it was a coincidence or not, but number 5 was the number worn by Hall of Famer Brooks Robinson, who played for many, many years in Baltimore.
Denny, do you remember the moment where you felt like George had a chance to be an all-time great? Because you allude to the struggles he had early in his career. But around that second or third year, once he made his first All-Star game in 1976, he made it every year up until 1988. Do you remember when you thought that George had a chance to be special?
The first time I remember George as being a bona fide big leaguer and he's going to stay for a while was probably the second half of his first full season. That's when he really started to get it, and you could see that if he improved in many aspects of the game, that he was going to be one of the all-time greats, and that's the way it worked out.
As you know, so many great players have that iconic moment. Patrick Mahomes had it against the Tennessee Titans with his touchdown run. Jordan had so many of them. What's the iconic moment for George Brett that sticks out in your mind?
And everybody remembers the home run against Gossage in the playoffs, but I remember his first hit. And he had just come up, and that was in Chicago. And I think the pitcher was Stan Bonson, who had a very good career with the Yankees but ended up with the White Sox at the tag end of his career. And that was when George got his first big league hit. And why I remember that, I don't know. I can't tell you. I know George remembers it. Everybody remembers their first hit. But, yeah, that's pretty vivid in my memory bank.
Denny, earlier today we had on Dennis Leonard and we talked ad nauseum about the Royals and Yankees rivalry. You certainly know that rivalry as well as anybody. I feel like that rivalry was fueled a lot by George Brett and his competitiveness. For younger listeners kind of like myself that don't really have a context of how great the Royals and Yankees rivalry was, what made it so heated in your opinion?
Well, great players, very competitive players. Most everybody remembers Carrington, the playoff games in those years, late 70s we're talking. And I don't know how many people remember the regular season games. And those at times were more heated than some of the playoff games. I mean, those two teams just went at it hammer and tong. I mean, there were no holds barred, nothing held back. And it was great theater. I'll tell you what, it was every time the Yankees had come to Kansas City, there was a buzz. And every time the Royals went to New York, and as the New York people, you know, some, well, they've seen it all. Well, there was a buzz at Yankee Stadium before the Royals and the Yankees played, and I'm talking about regular season as well as the playoffs.
Right now we're talking to the Hall of Famer, Denny Matthews, getting George Brett stories as we celebrate what would have been the Royals' home opener. If you look at his numbers, 1980 was probably the best year for George. He hit 390. What was it like to follow a player who was chasing 400?
Oh, it was fun because every day it was a little bit different. Every night brought two or three more hits. And he was chasing 400 and came up just, what, 5 hits short. And it was a memorable year. I mean, everything that he hit found a hole, and he just made such solid contact. George was never a fast starter. he was always, I think his birthday somewhere in the middle of May, and it was in the middle of May that he really started to hit. And a lot of times he'd go into the middle part of the month of May hitting, I don't know, 250, 260, 265, somewhere in there, which wasn't Brett. But all of a sudden, boy, you talk about getting on fire. I mean, every time he swung the bat, even if he didn't make great contact, it fell in. And it was just a dream year for him. And I think it kind of wore him down a little bit, 1st of September, and then he was having a press conference before every game, every day at a certain time, rather than have reporters coming at him in single file. So, yeah, they did a good job, they being the Royals PR office, and even George himself had a say in it. And they worked their way through it. But, yeah, it was mentally and physically very tiring for him. But, boy, what a run. And, like I said, coming up 5 hits short.
Denny, in retrospect, that's probably the best individual season that you covered. I mean, he hit 390 that year, won American League MVP. He was hitting around 400 as late in the season as September 19th. For all the great individual seasons you called, George Brett's 1980 is probably the best individual year.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that point at all. That was you're exactly on.
Everybody remembers the game, July 24th, 1983. Tell us your Pine Tar game story.
I was on TV at the time. Denny Treese and I were doing TV. Fred White was in the radio booth. And as I recall, Denny was doing the play-by-play at the time, so I was sitting there trying to figure out what was going on. And it was one of those situations where Tim McClellan, the plate umpire, at the bequest of Billy Martin, the Yankee manager, checking the bat. The league, I think, had put out a memo to keep the players from getting the pine tar past the label on the bat. And not that, I mean, it had no effect on the ball at all, but they wanted to keep it clean. And George had a little pine tar above the label, and Billy Martin said that's breaking the rules. Well, there was no rule on pine tar at all. Look in the book. Look in the 1983 rule book. There's nothing that says you can't have pine tar up to the barrel because it's not going to make any difference. But that was the deal. And, of course, the Royals appealed and won the appeal.
So, Denny, today the Royals are replaying Game 3 of the 1985 ALCS, where George Brett went 4-for-4 with 2 home runs and 3 RBIs. When I think most to the legacy of Brett, I think of clutch, that when the moment was the biggest, the stage was the biggest, George always came through. Is there a particular game that stands out for you when you think back to his career?
Yeah, he did, and he was so tough mentally. He accepted that. Some guys would have shied away from a clutch situation or game situation. George embraced it, and he was very good in those conditions, and that's why he always provided the big hit. Let George do it was kind of the motto and the rallying cry in the dugout, and George, I think 9 times out of 10, did it. And he was very, very good in the clutch. And as I've always said 100,000 times, Game 3 against Toronto was the game where that was his best game ever, and the Royals don't win the 85 World Series without a win in Game 3 against Toronto in the playoffs.
Denny, you've called so many great moments. What was it like to call George's final game? And you want to perfectly set the scene between the relationship of the Hall of Fame player and a city who obviously loved a great player as Brett was.
Yeah, I remember his last hit. It was a ground ball up the middle in Texas. And I also remember him, at the picture, great picture of him kissing home plate at Kauffman Stadium. Those are two things that stand out in my mind about his last week or so as a big leaguer.
Last question here, Denny, and I'll get you out of here. I appreciate it. I asked you this question last week about Bo Jackson. For a lot of people like myself who didn't get the opportunity to see Brett play live but have only seen highlights, as a player, how would you describe George Brett to them?
I would tell anybody who would listen that he was a Hall of Fame player because he was so good mentally and physically. He worked so hard when he came up from the minor leagues. He worked hard in the minor leagues too, obviously, but when he got to the big leagues, he was a little bit deficient defensively. He worked very hard on his defense. He worked very hard on his hitting, as you mentioned, Charlie Lau, and they went through their paces, and he just became a great Hall of Fame all-around player, mentally tough, physically tough. He played through some injuries, just a great career.
And that is the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.